We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 1120 KMOX.
Heard you missed us. We're back. Yeah.
This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
All right, it's 8:32, starting out the Wednesday edition of the show with a little NXS, a little Charlie Brennan, and a little Megan McBride, Democratic strategist with Show Me Victories. Good morning, both of you.
Good morning.
All right, let's start with Eric Greitens. There was a time when we had an Eric Greitens topic every single day for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now he's back. At least for today, because there's an ethics complaint alleging two groups connected to former Missouri Governor Greitens were used to conceal donor identities. And this is a complaint filed yesterday by Republican Representative Jay Barnes. It accuses Greitens' gubernatorial campaign and the nonprofit that promoted Greitens' agenda of multiple campaign finance violations. Now, the Missouri Ethics Commission can levy fines and in some cases refer these cases to prosecutors. Charlie, is this water under the bridge or should this complaint be pursued further?
Well, I don't mind anything being pursued, but the guy has resigned. I don't know where we're going with this exactly. I mean, that's the ultimate punishment. Governor Greitens gave up his job. Also, if Jay Barnes is concerned about, dark money getting into not-for-profits, he could work to change the contribution rules in the state of Missouri. And maybe he's going to do that. I doubt it, but maybe.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see if this does highlight a further, you know, issue that's not just happening with the governor's nonprofit or just his campaign committee, but it's across the board. I mean, the only problem I have with this is that it's pretty obvious our Missouri Ethics Commission does not have a lot of teeth. So even if you do file a complaint, they find that there's wrong, what kind of fine is actually going to stop people from continuing this kind of behavior? So that's a major problem that I have with it in general. But, you know, there is an effort in the state. It's called Clean Missouri. It's going to be on the November ballot to kind of address some of these contribution issues. So hopefully, if we do see some issues with this specific complaint, that might be addressed if the voters pass it.
We'll see, Megan, if it really resonates with people. I mean, in St. Louis County, we know that the Glarner brothers gave the county executive $300,000 and they get a contract then to develop Northwest Plaza. And I think the county executive is on his way to reelection handily. It's not like this is an issue among people. How about Rex Singfield? He's known around the state as the guy who really donates money to people locally as well as in Jeff City like no other, or he has few contemporaries. And yet, he's the guy who is the principal behind the privatization of the airport. So it's not like people are turning their backs on big donors. Big donors are big players in Missouri and local politics. And I don't think anyone really is all that concerned.
Oh, I think you're right in general, because whenever it is, all of those things that you're talking about go through the Ethics Commission are public and are traceable. This is a different situation because it's going through a nonprofit, which most people say, you know, are not supposed to be politicized and certainly should not be laundering or funneling money for a candidate. When you can go through the Ethics Commission, you do your quarterly reports, you and I could right now pull up and see every dollar, you know, that somebody's taken from their campaign committee. So I think it's just a little bit different of a situation when you've got the nonprofit involved.
The only area I disagree is where you say most people. You say most people believe this or that. I don't think most people are onto this. And I challenge you to even read the story on the front page of the paper today and tell me what this is all about. They talk about restricted donors in quotes. Well, they don't define what's a restricted donor. What does that mean?
Yeah, it's certainly confusing.
Well, on the other hand, to both of your points, just because it doesn't resonate with people doesn't necessarily mean it isn't an important issue that legislators should take up. I mean, they take up issues all the time that most people are like, what is that all about? So just because it doesn't resonate or people don't, you know, follow it like they follow cardinal scores doesn't necessarily mean it isn't an important issue.
Well, but what's the importance here? I mean, some people gave money to the governor and he's gone.
Well, for the future, you know.
For the future.
Maybe this...
All for the future, Charlie.
Yeah, let's stop it from happening in the future. Okay, this is something else that Darlene Green has been fighting for a long time and kind of a lone voice in the dark, calling the city's tax breaks for developers out of balance. City Controller Darlene Green says it's time to turn off the spigot of tax increment financing for developers in parts of the city that are thriving. She says thriving areas like downtown, like Ballpark Village, Phase 2, the Central West End, and that big fancy high-rise building no longer need the help from taxpayers that they once did. I know exactly where Charlie stands on this, so let's start first with Megan McBride.
Yeah, I think she definitely has a point. Certain areas have really turned around, and a lot of the reasons they have turned around is because they did get that initial either abatement or tax increment financing. I have a lot less issues with abatement than I do TIF in general. But I still think, you know, I think she pointed out in her interview, there are still blocks by block downtown that could probably use little help to get back to where they need to be so that we have a thriving downtown. And, you know, the region benefits from a thriving downtown. But I definitely agree we should see more use of these things in neighborhoods that really need them. You know, the neighborhood we live in had an abatement to build a little apartment retail area that was really an eyesore before, a lot of really bad criminal activity taking place in this old car wash. So to me, I was very happy to see that abatement go through. Let's get people living in that spot instead of, you know, drug deals in a car wash. So I think that's a positive use.
Well, we just had a story on KMWX today that there's not enough money to pick up trash. I mean, if you want to take another dent into the city's tax base, fine. Give everybody, give the law firms, give the car wash guys, give the, you know, hotels, anybody you want, give them a tax break. Fine.
All right. So you're in agreement with Darlene.
Well, I think that these use of tax incentives should be used in truly blighted areas. I don't think downtown is blighted. And if it's, you're talking about North St. Louis or a poverty stricken area, fine. I don't think it should be in Clayton either. I don't think it should be in De Pere. Let's use these tax incentives, either breaks on the property tax or the sales tax, in places where a developer wouldn't go. But everybody's lining up to put a hotel in downtown St. Louis. You telling me that
there's so many coming popping up?
I know. Who's going to stay there? That's a lot of hotels.
And yet no one wants the Millennium. Just sits there. But before we go to break, we have to take a break. Megan, since you and I both live in South City, and there was a nice picture on the front page of KMOX.com of overflowing dumpsters, what's the dumpster situation in your alley?
You know, our issue is not trash. It's recycling.
Yes.
My neighbors are recycling maniacs, which is wonderful, but I actually like have a game. I wait until I hear the dogs bark at the truck in the alley, and I run out and I take all my recycling. I get there as soon as possible because I don't want it sitting on my porch. So I'm actually pleased to see that we have a lot of recycling, but it does get a little irritating.
Yeah. Our green dumpsters, you know, where people dump branches and grass clippings. Yeah, those don't get emptied as much as they should. So anyway, other than that, I think we're good.
KMOX. You ready?
Let's go.
This is Overtime.
All right, 8:43, I'm Debbie Monterey. Also in Studio B, Megan McBride of Show Me Victories and Charlie Brennan of The Charlie Brennan Show. Americans' confidence in employment prospects apparently soaring as the labor market tightens, and the latest proof, a record number are voluntarily quitting to seek better jobs. Some 3.56 million workers left their positions in May, the most dating back to 2000, and up from the prior month's 3.35 million, according to Labor Department data. Charlie, are people just leaving their jobs a sign of an improving economy, or do you think these are people who just go home and play video games in their basement?
Oh, well, probably both. And, you know, gosh, we have so many retirees. I think, 10,000 a week or 10,000 a day, baby boomers are retiring. The numbers are astronomical. But I do think people feel a little bit better that there's the ability to get a job if they leave their current employment. So they might be rolling the dice saying, look, there's a lot of job openings out there. I'll find something else.
Yeah, and I think people, you know, we do know while jobs are improving, people are getting more employment, wages are still stagnant. So I think a lot of folks probably look around and say, okay, what do I need to do to up my wage, to make a little more money? And if that means taking the risk to leave the job they're in, I think people are willing to do that to bring in a little more every month.
Wages are going up a little bit, 2.7% last month. So that's better than it was. And I'll say this, the only way you really get a pay raise is if you leave your job. I mean, that's how people have figured it out. I heard once what you really have to do in your career is be a broken field runner, like a football player where you escape one person, you go to another, then you go to another. And I think young people are doing that pretty well. You know, they're not staying at jobs for too long, but sometimes the only way you can get more money is to tell the person who employs you bye-bye.
And then maybe they'll give you a raise.
They always do.
Or maybe
they
won't.
If they want you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they say, oh, we just can't do that right now. Okay, let's talk about school supplies because, believe it or not, it is now July 11th and some kids will be starting school in a couple of weeks. We have some school districts starting, I think, first week of August, if I'm not mistaken, maybe second week of August. So let's talk school supplies. I remember the first day of school was exciting solely because you had your whole backpack full of brand new supplies, which was always fun. But although the internet has changed the way people shop, apparently that is not the case when it comes to school supplies. Consumers, according to Bloomberg, prefer brick and mortar to get those school supplies. This is not me, but we'll discuss this after I get you to weigh in, Charlie Brennan. Do you buy the school supplies in person or online?
You know, I think in recent years, they have been in person at Office Depot.
I don't have children, but I loved going school supply shopping in middle school and probably into high school when I shouldn't have been that excited about it. I mean, I think there's just something very like OCD and type A of like picking out your highlighters and your pencils and making sure they all coordinate. So I can definitely see why people are still going to actual stores to do that.
Well, I can tell you that the sheet, it's now a full sheet.
Yeah.
Of what you need to buy, you know, like an entire 8x11 sheet of paper of things that you have to purchase for your kids. I had a traumatizing experience when I went to back to school shopping on tax-free weekend. This is probably 5-6 years ago. Tax-free weekend, I went to the South City Target.
That sounds horrible.
I'm still traumatized by it today. It was a madhouse. People like running kids over in shopping carts. It was like, you know, I don't know. It was like the school supplies were going out of business and they'd never return and people were going crazy. So I actually do sit at my kitchen table and I just order it online and have it shipped to the house because I don't want to deal with it anymore. I'll pay the taxes. I'll do it online. All right. We've got time for another topic. Okay. The Department of Health and Human Services is drastically reducing funding for grassroots groups that help Americans sign up for insurance through the Affordable Care Act. Now, for the first time, priority will be given to groups that provide information about health care plans that skirt the ACA's consumer protection rules and benefit requirements. The changes fit within a pattern of moves by the Trump administration to weaken the health care law from the Obama administration. Charlie, will these latest moves be beneficial to Americans?
I don't think so. No, it's continuing the trend that started last year, actually, where the number of people on the phone that you could call to get information cut back and reduced. And no, I don't think that's consumer friendly at all.
Well, when you want something to be a failure and you tell people that it's a failure, you have to find ways to try to make it so. And because it's not a failure unless we do these kinds of policies to make it more difficult. What I love is still, you know, whenever you ask Republican voters in polls, they hate Obamacare and they love the Affordable Care Act. So I think President Trump should be very careful, you know, in this path forward because people like it.
Well, we do as... Are you giving me the timeout?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. We do... I saw his hands move. We do as a nation like to point out what other countries are bad at, but we don't like to be criticized ourselves. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley is now criticizing a UN report that did critique the treatment of the poor here in the United States. She's saying that the UN should focus on poverty in developing countries like Burundi or the Congo. The report also faults the Trump administration for pursuing policies the UN said would exacerbate U.S. poverty. Megan, do you agree with the UN ambassador that the United Nations shouldn't focus on us, but focus on other nations?
No, I mean, I think we're part of the United Nations. They're going to look at, whenever they look at poverty, they're looking at everybody. And I think it's absolutely no secret that, you know, for how rich we are, for being the most developed country in the world, we don't necessarily have the best policies to deal with poverty in our own country. And I think when you don't want to be criticized, it's not a good way to move forward and find solutions.
I haven't seen the report, but people are still leaving other countries to come here. El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala. Debbie, you and I were in Haiti, and it's just, it's a lot worse elsewhere. We know that to be true.
Well, absolutely, but that doesn't mean there's not things you can improve, you know, at home, always, you know. I don't think it's fair to just say, well, we're better than everybody else, or, you know, there's worse places. That doesn't mean we can't look inward. Well, you know, America first. Let's look at ourselves and figure out what's going on,
Megan,
and maybe
Megan,
improve.
Not what America first
means, doesn't mean
Megan.
Again. I'm so confused.
Do you think that Americans have not looked at poverty in this country, that we need other countries to tell us about it?
Well, what's the point of a report at all?
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, it's a report.
That's what I'm saying.
All right,
saying.
No reports. No more reports or studies on anything.
That was my conclusion. No reports at all. Yeah, that's right.
It's 8:50. We've got to go for a break here, but when we come back, it's round three of OT.
Guess what?
What?
Overtime continues.
You gotta be kidding.
Really?
Really, really.
On KMOX.
It's 8:53, Debbie Monterey, Megan McBride, Charlie Brennan. Let's get to a couple of quick ones here. I don't know, I think it's more a guy thing, but trying to see, you know, how hot a pepper you can eat, because it's a manly thing. I do like spicy food, but there's a limit. Like, I wouldn't bite into an habanero, I'm not crazy. But this guy ate a Carolina Reaper pepper, and he ended up in the emergency room, apparently. Is this an actual diagnosis? Thunderclap headaches, where they come on suddenly in short bursts and include intense pain in the neck, can last a few days to several weeks because this pepper was so hot. Megan, would you try the world's hottest pepper? Oh, here, wait, your mic's not on. There you go.
Absolutely not. Thunderclap, I mean, I can't even imagine what that is, but it's not worth going to the hospital to eat a pepper. I can definitely say that.
Don't need that, thanks.
Yeah, okay. Anthony Rizzo of the Chicago Cubs says he'd be all in for a shorter MLB season. Of course he would, because he'd make the same amount of money, I'm sure. But as we approach the All-Star break, how about a 142-game season, as USA Today suggests? 142 games is still a lot of games, considering it's at 162 right now. What do you think, Megan?
I'm fine with it. You know, I don't have a strong opinion either way. But I do think it's interesting to hear about some of the things they're talking about, trying to make the game a little more attractive, get some new viewers, keep people more engaged. So maybe a few less games would do the trick.
Used to be 154, now 162. I don't think in St. Louis it's a problem at all. People still like to go to downtown to see the games, maybe elsewhere, but I don't think we need a shorter season.
Yeah, there's some stadiums where it's just embarrassing. You feel so sorry for them. Like, I can count every person sitting in there. Wow. Well, he's seen a lot over his 42 years in the biz, and local meteorologist Dave Murray has decided to call it quits, says he'll retire in September to spend more time with his family, says he and his wife have had no regular weekday evenings together for 37 years of their marriage. Would you? Well, should we? First off, will you miss Dave Murray? Any Dave Murray stories? I personally don't. I don't know him personally, but any Dave Murray stories you want to share?
I think Dave is one of the all-time greats. I can recall even when I was living in Boston, he was working for WBZ there, and I had a talk show on WNTN, and he was one of my guests in the studio. And he and his lovely wife, Janice, probably deserve more time together. I will say, I'm working with a guy from Syria who's learning English, and he told me there's only one person on television he can understand, and that is Dave Murray.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
That's really, like, kind of touching little story. It's really cute.
That's how my mom learned to speak English.
Watching
She's
television.
Watched a lot of TV.
Yeah, wow. You gotta do it.
Yeah. I didn't grow up here, so I'm not, you know, super familiar, but my very good friend Claire is heartbroken. She grew up in Shrewsbury. Aww. She's very sad about Dave Murray retiring.
Okay, but real quick, could this be one reason why he and Janice have been married for 37 years? Because they haven't spent an evening together in 37 years of marriage?
Could be onto something.
I'm just saying, I don't know. It's 8:56.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.